Thank you, Michael. This fall, we had a Building Blocks Discipleship Group meeting, and this is a little bit advertisement, but it's a little bit a thank you to Michael as well. He was part of our Building Blocks Discipleship Group, and it was the second week we were meeting. So each week we have homework. So after the first week, he did the homework, and he came back the second time, and he gave me permission to share this other than his age. He says, I wondered why someone my age would need to come to something like this, but now I know it's drawing me closer to God. So that simple recognition or acknowledgement then thread throughout the 8 weeks we met together, that is one of the purposes of Building Blocks, is to draw closer to God. So I appreciate Michael and how he really pressed in to what God had for him during those 8 weeks. And there will be other opportunities for you to join us as well. So, anticipation. When our family was living in Ecuador a number of years ago, and we were part of the mission team that was there, twice a year we would have a spiritual retreat, and then we'd do a business/spiritual retreat. And I remember attending one of those, or preparing to attend one of those retreats. Now, usually when we would come up to that point in time in the year, I was ready for it. I was tired. I needed a lot at that point. I needed rest, but I needed refreshing in my soul. So I went to that retreat with a lot of anticipation, a lot of expectation. And we had checked into a small resort just outside of the capital city of Quito. And for some reason, I didn't know who the speaker was going to be, but usually we did, but that time I didn't. I remember walking into the main room, and this, I can still feel it today, the heaviness of disappointment came over me, because here was the pastor of the English-speaking church in Quito, and I had heard him speak many times. And it's like, oh, Lord, I want a fresh word. And that became my prayer right there at that point was, Lord, I need a fresh word from you out of an old speaker. And I, at the end of our time together, I was able to share that with him because God did answer my prayer. And in this season of Advent, in this season of anticipation, I challenge us in our anticipation for a fresh word out of a familiar story. When we read the scriptures in Luke, we can almost say those without reading them. Probably some Christmas pageant in the past, we may have already have memorized them. But I challenge us to listen today for a new or fresh word, what God has for us today, out of an old familiar story. Pastor Jeff set us up last week in the book of Luke. We looked at the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke is believed to be a travel companion of Paul, and he wrote a lot that was common knowledge to everyone. But he also did careful research to make sure it was true. It said he carefully investigated what he wrote. And then we explored together the account of the visitation of the angel to Zechariah. And he said, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. And we saw the foretelling of the birth of John the Baptist. And at the end of that, we were challenged to turn our anticipation into encountering God, even in the midst of waiting for answers to our prayers. And it's interesting how many after that message said, yeah, I've been waiting, and I'm still waiting. But we were challenged in the anticipation of waiting to encounter God. So today we focus on a new anticipation. And before we go any further, I want to pray over you. I pray over every one of you that you would be open to hear a fresh word today. The fresh word that God has for you today. That we already know the words that are going to be read. We know the words on the page, but by your Spirit, bring them alive to us. May they land where we need them to land, in Jesus' name. So, whoops. I'm going to read this section in Luke 1, 26 to 30. Sit, listen, receive. If you want to follow along, you can open your Bibles. But I'm just going to read these words over us, and I want you to hear. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." In this small section, there is a word for us. So it talks about in the sixth month. That's referring back to the previous story. Elizabeth was in the sixth month of her pregnancy. And so you see the timeline of what is happening here. First, there was Gabriel's visitation to Zechariah. Now, 6 months later, there was the visitation to Elizabeth. And so this story is told in a very similar pattern to what we heard last week in the foretelling of John the Baptist's birth. So there's similar parallels between these two stories, but there's also a contrast, and we will look at those. This time, the story centers on the mother. Last time, the story centered on the father, Zechariah. So what do we see here in this small section? We see a messenger from God, the angel Gabriel. It tells us his name, and it also links back to verse 19 from last week, where he said, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God." Or he said, "I am sent from God," depending on what translation you're reading of the Bible. So it's the same angel that's now visiting Mary. And it said that he visited Nazareth. So we see a messenger from God, we see who is Mary, and we see the message to Mary. In that message from angel Gabriel to Mary, where he's standing in the presence of God, he says, "I am from God." He said that to Zechariah, and he's saying now to Mary, "I am Gabriel." He was sent to Mary. And he was also sent to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is, in that time period, was a small village, maybe 1,600 to 2,000 people. Now, what was the angel of God doing in Nazareth? Very divine appointment to meet with Mary. So who was Mary? It says here Mary was a virgin. In Judaism, virgins were young maidens. They were usually 12 to 14 years old, maybe younger. They were described as not having sexual relations with a man. And it says here the virgin's name was Mary. Very distinct details in this account, but they're there for a reason. And it also says that she was betrothed to Joseph. Now, that means there was a legal binding agreement between Mary and Joseph that could only be broken by divorce. It means the bride price had been agreed on. It was a relationship that was sealed. So it was more than what we think of an engagement. Joseph was probably back at his father's house preparing a place for them to live because they always joined the husband's family, built on another room, built on another piece of the house. And Mary was in a time of readiness, but she was waiting. She was waiting for Joseph to return for her. And then it says Joseph was from the royal lineage of King David. He was from the house of David. Again, very distinct and specific details in this. And we will see as this story unfolds in future weeks how important those details are. And now we have the angel's message. And the angel said to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Like Zechariah, the messenger and the message triggered some kind of reaction. And we heard very good descriptions about being scared and being afraid. The angel was sent to Mary. Now, generally, greetings were normal in this culture. But rank and status within that society determined how you would greet someone. it determined what words you would say. And it was rare and unusual for a man to greet a woman, and even more unusual to give a greeting like this. Mary is both a woman and a young person, not yet married. Mary had no social status. Neither the title favored nor the promise that the Lord is with you was traditional in greetings, even if she had been a person of status. So this, right out of the beginning of the story, this was unusual. And it says she was troubled. In some translations, it's perplexed, it's disturbed. She's going, what kind of greeting is this? Who's talking to me? You know, really, they shouldn't be talking to me. Then the original greeting of the angel was expanded. And he says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And so there are two powerful parts of the angel's message. There's the do not be afraid, which was the same beginning of the message that Zechariah heard last week. And Pastor Jeff said, in Scripture, there's some form of do not fear, do not be afraid, 365 times in Scripture. It was a common phrase that came out, and it often was commonly used when there was a supernatural appearance. And so that's when we see that, do not be afraid. And then the second piece of that is the, you have found favor with God. What does it mean to be favored? The ancient writers used a word for favor in this section that means endow with grace. To be highly favored is to be receptive of God's grace. He was speaking his grace over her. Grace was freely bestowed on Mary. And this word is used one other time. And in the New Testament, in Ephesians 1:6, we see the same word that is used now in this message to Mary. And in Ephesians 1:6, the context is our adoption through Jesus Christ and our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. And instead of using the word favor there, it actually uses the phrase richness of his grace he lavished upon us. We have been found favored. In other words, favor means acceptable to God. Favor's a gift. It's not something that's deserved. God's favor is bestowed upon Mary, and his grace is being lavished upon her. So it was not unusual to see examples of God speaking to his servants in this way. But it was unusual for God to speak to a young woman like this through his servants. And there's another contrast to note here. We said last week in the parallel story with Zechariah and Elizabeth that Mary, she's contrasted in that she is described with a genuine, but she had less profound faith than Zechariah did. Zechariah, we learned, was one of 20,000 priests whose job it was to enter, if the lottery chose him, to enter into the holy place, to enter into the presence of God. That's a profound faith. But today we see the simple faith of a teenage girl. God's tapping her on the shoulder, tapping this woman who's humble, who's obscure, to give her a message of comfort and affirmation. Do not be afraid, you have been found with favor. Comfort and affirmation before he lays the big assignment on her. This is a big deal for Mary. So what does this mean to us? Now we're going to stop here on verse 30 for a reason. I want us to sit in this without the distraction of what comes next. We already know the ending of this story. We know what comes next. We know what starts in verse 31, and Pastor Jeff will pick that up next week. But if we jump too quickly into verse 31, we lose our part in the Jesus story. We see here Mary's part of the Jesus story, but in the same way, our lives are part of the Jesus story. The process of living out the unfolding of this story is as important as the ending for us. This section lines up with the values of Living Christ Church. We had a series that we did this fall, and one of the values for Living Christ Church is we will listen to God. We learned that God speaks to us in various ways. We practice listening through Scripture. We learned that God speaks to us through creation. But there are other ways that God speaks to us, and His Spirit speaks to us in very personal ways. But we will continue to process through that as a church. But I want us to recognize that we will listen to God is a very much a part of this story. And there were clues throughout Scripture. What did Mary do with what she heard? What do we do with what we hear from God? When God speaks to us, He's inviting us into His story. And in Luke 2:19 and in Luke 2:51, it says Mary pondered these words. And some it says she treasured these words. These were words that she received when she needed them. Just like Mary, we can hold on to the words of God from the past when the present becomes challenging. When we're on a path with God, we can distinguish. Even though this is my current situation, even though this is my current circumstance, God's word is still true. I believe that when things in life get hard, it's either what I've been saying about God or believing about God is true or it is not. But it becomes more than just words at that point. The truth of God's word is executed in reality. Let me illustrate. I shared this very personal story in a sermon, I believe it was a couple of years ago. And it's the story when I was with my daughter, Sarah, and she learned there was nothing more the doctors could do to restore the sight to her right eye. She had had a very serious staph infection in her eye that almost totally destroyed her cornea when she was on a study tour or a semester study in Israel. So we went to all the specialists. And when we received that, when we got to the end of that line of all the specialists, there's nothing more we can do. You have lost your sight in your eye. It was a devastating message. And I processed all the emotions that went with that. You know, shake my fist at God. I'm angry. The why? Why? And in that process, I also had an awareness of a question. And that question was, okay, all that you have believed, all that you have studied, all that you have taught about God, is it still true? Is it still true in this situation, right here, right now? What I believed about God needed to become significantly real to me and not just words at that moment. And in that process of wrestling with that question, I heard the still small voice of God speak to me and say, I see you. I see you. So I was still experiencing all the pain that was involved in the current circumstance. But I could declare that God was still the same God from when I received words back here in my current circumstance. That time in my life continues to be a benchmark for me. There was a shift in who I was as walking with God. And what I believe back here is still true for today, regardless of what I am going through. And as we see Mary, the words of God are spoken for a reason. They may be for today, but they may also be for what she faces tomorrow. ATS professor and author, which some of us know well, Rob Reamer, gives an additional perspective to the opportunities for the challenges we have before us. He writes, and he speaks this often, your next level with God lies beyond the boundaries of your current experience. And the only way you can get there is to risk more than you're comfortable with. Writer Oswald Chambers describes what that next level of God may look like. He calls it an unchartered path. In other words, God may be calling him to follow us through an unchartered path. And we may need to risk more than we're comfortable with. I like the image that this gives me. To imagine where Mary was headed. The unchartered path is an image or vision where God wants to take us. Mary already had her life planned out. She was 14 years old. She was betrothed to Joseph. She would have a family, live happily ever after. At least that's what 14-year-old Jewish girls were destined to do in that culture. Except the angel appeared to Mary and gave her the message that we are looking at today. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor." God was preparing Mary for what was next. Basically, he's saying, pay attention. I've got something different for you. One writer I recently read described God speaking to us often feels like an interruption. Yeah. I think Mary could see this visit from the angel as an interruption. I believe many of us try to shake off those interruptions or those invitations when he wants to do something new or different in our lives. But it may be preparing us for that next level with God that's outside of our current experience, to take us to someplace new, somewhere different, to do something special we couldn't have predicted on our own. But is there something stopping us? Why are we often afraid of God's plans? The fear that was invoked by an image of an uncharted path is when God's plans and purposes are different than our plans, or they're different than what we think our plans should be. And fear, then, is often what causes us to stop in our tracks. I'm not talking about the healthy fear of danger, but a fear that's usually rooted in lies. False beliefs are often underneath a fear that paralyzes us. And it paralyzes us to the point where we don't do anything. God speaking to us can dig up a response within us that's full of fear. That response could be full of, but what if, what if? It can be full of the doubts. And that also, when we are controlled by fear, we can dismiss, we can discount, or we can deflect what God is saying. And those three responses often then become the focus. And we actually don't hear what God is saying because we're too busy trying to dismiss, discount, or deflect what God is saying. Fear can also distort how we see God. Right now, God's message is do not be afraid, may be dismissed by us because we think, oh, that was for Mary. I'm not Mary. Oh, that was for Mary. No, I want to challenge you to identify any fear of your life that may be keeping you from hearing God. And if you are not able to process through that fear or process any resistance that you're hearing this morning, the pastoral team is willing to walk with you through some things that maybe you need to have help with in walking through, pushing through a fear or some resistance to what God is saying. The next thing that we hear after do not be afraid is the second part, and that is God found favor. You have found favor with God. We said that favor is unmerited grace. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we earned. And I think it was probably just as difficult for Mary to hear that as it is for us. Remember, Mary was a young Jewish woman who didn't have a significant role or place in her culture. And God was telling her, you found favor with God. She had to see herself as God sees her. We often need to shift our perspective so we see ourselves as God sees us. You have been found with favor. We have been found to receive his grace, not because we deserve it, not because we're doing enough, not because we try harder, but receive the praise of his glorious grace Those are the words out of Ephesians 1:6 for us. We are adopted sons and daughters, is what Ephesians goes on to tell us. We are told we have found favor. So as we reach the end of what God may have for us this morning, we join the mother of Jesus in listening. God's words were given in advance of what she will hear next. I just picture Mary. She's on the edge, and she's almost on the edge of this big cliff, because we know the cliff is pretty big for her. What's coming next? What's our edge? Where are we standing? Can we step out? I've always been a fan of Oswald Chambers, and I used his term, uncharted path. But actually, the full quote is something I had printed, and it was taped to my computer at work as a reminder to me. And it's this: finding one's purposes with God can be a strange and mysterious journey. Problem is, most of us forget to ask God to fill us with that fervent spirit to serve Him. Then years later, we wake up and realize we had our life. We made our small choices, our safe choices, but somehow we missed the richness of following our God down an uncharted path. And the reason that was on my computer was a reminder to me for that, to ask for that fervent spirit so I wouldn't make only the small choices. Now, I'm not disparaging the small choices, because we make those all the time in our lives. But sometimes they replace what God's really inviting us to. So we're invited right now here in this room to hear God's message to you in advance of what He has next for you. Or it could be a message today that He has for you. It's for your current situation. You're right in the middle of something. Remember, we first choose to listen. When we talked about the value of we will listen to God, we learned that choice of listening, it's a choice that we have. We have to first choose to listen. And we can choose to listen to place ourselves in the Jesus story, because we're standing on the edge of what? So we listen with anticipation of an encounter with God, to hear His words. We will listen. So right now, I want us to choose to enter into that posture of listening. The posture of listening is that openness. Picture yourself being open. And if you open your hands as symbolism, you're free to do that. But I want you to be in that place of being open to what God through His Spirit wants to say to you. That choice, that openness, that freshness of His word that He wants to give you. And so as you sit there in that posture of listening, I'm going to read the same words that Mary heard. I'm going to read them over you, say them over you, receive them, and also listen for the Spirit of God to maybe give you an additional message as well. Expand that message. I always pray, Lord, multiply my words. Multiply the words we hear. And so, Spirit, now multiply those words. For Mary, these were words of comfort and affirmation. For us, they may be something different, but it may be exactly what we need to hear right now. So listen. Personally receive these. And this is for everyone, for those that are old, for young, for man, for woman, for child, for everybody. Hear the word of the Lord. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. God has spoken these words to us. What will we do with them? How does your life change when you hear these words personally spoken to you? Life is not only about taking the safe, easy route. Our lives go to the next level with God through listening and responding to his invitations to us. Our responsibility starts with a choice to listen to God. Then we ask for a fervent spirit from him to enjoy the richness of following God down that uncharted path. So as a conclusion here, as a response here, in your bulletin is a slip of paper that has two statements on it. And I want us to take those out right now, because I don't have the full word on the screen, so you're going to need those. And if people next to you do not have a bulletin, you may need to share. But there's two statements in there. One is, I will choose to listen to God in anticipation of an encounter with him, to hear his word and to believe that his word is true. I will choose to follow God down an uncharted path. Or maybe you're not there yet. Maybe today it's that point of, I want to choose. I want to choose to listen to God. And then the rest of it is the same, except I want to choose to follow God down an uncharted path. And maybe neither one of these are where you're at right now. Then listen. Listen to those around. Just listen to God's word that's being spoken around you. Because what we say, what we declare, and these are declarative statements, our statements to ourselves, they're statements to God, they're statements to those who are around us, and they're also statements to the enemy of our soul. We're declaring where we are right now. And so I invite you to stand right now. And we will simultaneously read these two sections or these two statements. And the only difference between them is one, I will or I want. And so together now, read the statement that you identify with. I will choose to listen to God in anticipation of an encounter with him, to hear his word, and to believe that his word is true. I will choose to follow God down an uncharted path. And to this I say, amen, and may it be so.